good morning. Good morning, kids. How are you? You guys are awesome. You know what? You didn't need much incentivizing to come down at all. You just came down by yourself. Hey, Neve, Zaylee, I love you guys doing the actions to that song. You guys remember them. Well done. I didn't see you, Charlie, but I know that you know them really well too. And I'm so glad you came. We are going to do a game very, very shortly, and I'm going to show you some things that are in my big bag today. But did you know, firstly, can you make a whale noise? Can you make a baby noise? Can you guys do a baby noise? Well done. And who likes to swim? Can you pretend you're swimming? Did you know that the Bible is shallow enough for a baby to play in, but deep enough for a whale to swim in? Did you know that? Because the Bible is full of stories. Now, I've asked my scripture kids, I'm going to ask you guys the same thing. Why do you think the Bible tells stories and doesn't just give us an instruction manual of life? Why doesn't it go, when your brother breaks the bowl and tells mum it was you, you should respond X, Y, and Z? Why does it tell stories and not just give instructions? What do you think? Because it tells everyone about God. Fantastic. What about you? They tell stories, answer questions. That is a very academic answer. Very good. What do you think, Jabez? To help us know Jesus. That's 100% correct. Do you know that stories are a way that we can, even the youngest, even the one-year-olds can understand a story. And even the oldest and wisest of us can still draw from the depths of them. And the Bible is full of these. And they're not just stories. We know it from the song we sang today, that God was really with those people like Moses and Jacob. And today with Joseph, he was really with them and he really did miracles. And for us kids, that's easy to believe. But sometimes as adults, we forget that God is still the God who did those miracles and he can still do miracles today. Is that cool? Now we're going to play a game because today is all about Joseph. And this is how the game's going to work. I'm going to choose one person and they're going to be Joseph. And then we're going to have 10 brothers and those brothers are going to try and push Joseph down the well. Now, we're just going to get the baptism pool open. No, not really. Not really. This is what we're going to do. All right. So, all right. Charlie, you can be Joseph. Can you be Joseph for me? Can you please stand up here, Charlie? Stand over here. I don't want to stand in front of the speaker or you guys are going to hear a loud screech. And you are going to be the traffic light, Joseph. Now, if you guys want to play, stand up and I want you to go stand over here. Everyone who wants to play over here, stand here. Wow. Well done. In a line, you've got to be behind the speaker in a line. If you don't want to play, you've got to shuffle back. You've got to shuffle back to the edge of the mat. Go play. It's really fun. Because this game's all about, do you girls want to play? Would you like to play? Or you just want to watch? Maybe you can play a second round. We'll see. So this is what's going to happen. Charlie over here, who is Joseph, whenever she turn around, you guys are allowed to creep over. And then when she turns back, you must freeze. But if she sees you, you have to go back to where you started. And you're given a second chance. She forgives you, gives you another chance. But the goal, because you're the naughty big brothers of Joseph, you've got to creep over and try and get him on the well. So when she turn around, you might get there and you go, push. And then when you push her down the well, you get to be the next Joseph. Does that sound fun? All right. Okay. You can run, but it's hard to stop when you're running. Law of momentum. Okay, are you ready, Charlie? All right. Everyone, ready? As soon as she turns around, you can walk. Hunter. 1, 2, 3, 4, she said.
And I saw someone else do it,
Taylor. This one's a brutal Joseph. He's keeping account of his brothers. All right. Oh, did you get Neve too? You might have to be a bit more gracious, Joseph. Goodness. Okay. All right.
Chosen you, now my heart is set.
Oh my goodness, are they even gonna get one step? Give them a few seconds. Oh, some are safe though. Give them another chance. Oh, I got Neve. All right, go back, Neve. Oh, Zaylee. Keep going. You guys are doing so well. You guys can start walking again as soon as she stops watching. Who was that? Ah. Oh. The others are doing really well. It's just a, make sure they're not walking. If they're breathing, that's okay. Okay. Yeah, our tongues are okay. All right, let's keep going. Get the game moving. Oh, Zaylee. Well done. These young guys are going great. All right. Fast game's good game, Charlie. Let's make it happen. Oh, Javez. Oh, Zach's doing a good job. Well done. You're almost there. Oh, I think it's all Hunter. Oh, and Zach. Oh, no. All right. Give him a chance. Okay, keep going. Oh, Hunter, that was, you were walking 5 seconds after you turned around. Come on, quick games, good game. Keep going, Charlie. All right, almost there. Well done, now they're playing well. Good, the dive technique. All right, they're almost there. Oh, really? We gotta be a bit more gracious, Charlie. A bit more gracious to them. Let them go. All right, this could be it. All right, 5 seconds. All right. He's okay. He's all right. They're okay, okay. Oh no, okay. Come on, we can do it. It's all right, they're just running around. Oh yeah, Charlie moved forward to meet up. She's definitely moved. All right, now. We could be here all day, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, we're almost there. All right, this time, boys and girls, it's all about speed, because Charlie's going to. All right, that's a win. Well done, Zach. And everyone. Ooh. All right, we're gonna do a fast one. This time, Zach, I want you to come over here, right in the middle. Okay. All right, and remember, your job isn't to win, because you can't win this game. Your job is to try and make it fair, okay? All right, go, Zach. Oh, Charlie, go then. Here we go. Oh, he was still in, okay. Very fair. Oh, no. Oh, well done. And they pushed Joseph down the well. And you guys may sit back down. Congratulations, you guys played so well. And Lola and Jenny, you guys did a phenomenal job as well. You did so great. You were learning how to play, doing so fantastic. And that's right, we're gonna talk about Joseph today, boys and girls, and I'm gonna choose some people because I love dress-ups. Hands up if you love dress-ups.
Not me.
Anyone out there love dressing up? I don't like dressing up. I like dressing other people up. And that's what I'm gonna do. And I've got, today I'm gonna tell the story of Joseph. We're going to go through it. It's a long story, and we're going to go through 13 chapters of the Bible, but Good thing is, we're going to do the abridged version. It's going to be very fast. Now, this is how the story begins. Hang on, there's something stuck in here. I don't know. There's something in there. Whoever's Joseph can figure it out. Listen, it begins like this. There was a man called Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons. Hunter, you're going to be Jacob for me. Come stand up here. Put the beard on. Yay. Here's a snapshot into what he'll look like at 55. There we go. And he had 12 sons. And 10 of them were old men. And they worked in the fields. And then he had 2 sons to his wife, Rebecca. Was it Rebecca or was Rachel? Someone correct me. Rachel, yeah. And he loved his sons to Rachel more than his sons to all the other women. And so he had a special favoritism towards them. And one of them, the older one, was named Joseph. Say Joseph.
Joseph.
Today I'm going to pick someone who's very respectfully watching and waiting. They can be Joseph today. You know what? Zach, would you like to be Joseph? I think you do a fantastic job as Joseph. Here, you can put on the multicolored dream coat. Do you know that Jacob loved him so much that he gave him this special, expensive coat? And it was a big show off to all his brothers because his brothers just had ordinary coats, but he had a beautiful coat. Here, turn it around a little bit. I want to look proper. Does that feel good? Great. Here we go. He loved his brother so much. And do you know what? His older brothers only... How would you feel if your parents had a favorite? How would you feel about your sibling? You would not want them, hey? You would not like them. And so the older brothers, they despised Joseph. They hated him. They wanted nothing to do with him. In fact, let's have a quick older brothers. Yes, 1, 2, 3. Can you guys come just stand on the stairs here? And so they hated Joseph. Can you just like talk about how bad Joseph is for a second? Yeah, don't be rude. All right, so you talk about how bad Joseph is. And then they hated him. And guess what? Joseph was a bit naive. But God gave him special dreams. And so one night Joseph went to sleep. Go to sleep. And when he was asleep, he had a dream. And in his dream, he dreamt that he and his brothers were out gathering wheat. And all of a sudden, his brother's bundles of wheat turned. They stood up and they turned towards his bundle of wheat and they all bowed down to his bundle of wheat. And what do you think that means? Kind of means that the brothers are bowing down to Joseph. And so he tells them this dream, maybe not a very good idea, and his brothers just hate him even more. Oh, we just saw this guy reckons he's better than us. Oh, we'll teach him. Guess what? He didn't learn his lesson. Joseph had another dream where he slept, and this time he dreamt that he was up in the sky, and all of a sudden 12 stars and the sun and the moon all bow down to him. What do you think the 12 stars are? Wait, no, sorry, 11 stars. 11 stars bow down to him. What do you think the 11 stars are, Charlie?
I think that they are the brothers.
The 11 brothers, that's right. And the sun and the moon, the mother and father, yeah? And so he had this dream, and then he told his brothers and his family again. And they thought, do you think that you are so much better than us that we're going to bow down to you? And it says that their hatred burnt against him. That doesn't sound too good. Jacob still loved him, though. And so one day, Jacob sent Joseph out to go check on his brothers who were in the field. You see, Joseph had given a bad report of his brothers, which means he had caught them doing the wrong thing. And this time, Jacob was sending him again to check if his brothers were doing the right thing. And what did his brothers do? Well, they said that they were going to Shechem, but instead, they talked amongst themselves that let's go to this other place, probably so they couldn't be found out by their brother. But Jacob sent Joseph off to this city, go off to this place, to this field, Shechem, and he gets there and he's looking for his brothers. And this old man arrives. This old man says, who are you looking for? And he says, I'm looking for my brothers. They were tending their fields. And he says, I think they said they were going to Dothan. So go check out Dotham. So he goes to Dotham and there he sees his brothers. They're working, or they're maybe hardly working, not doing a very good job. And Joseph sees them and they see Joseph. And as they see Joseph approaching, you know what they said? They said, there's our father's favorite son walking over to give another bad report of us. We hate him so much. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take him and kill him when he gets here. That's terrible. Not good. But the older brother, the oldest one, Reuben, he says, he hears about what they're plotting and says, stop. Let's not kill him. Just here. Put him in this well, because this well's dry. Put him in this well and we'll work out what we'll do with him later. Reuben had it in his mind that he was going to rescue Joseph later and bring him back unharmed. But the other brothers had a different idea. All right, listening. If you're up here, you've got to be listening, okay? So Joseph goes over to them. Hey, brothers, how are you? And they grab him. Go on, grab him. And they throw him down the well gently. Great, great. And they throw him down the well. And there he is, staying miserable in a wet well with frogs in it. At least that's what I heard in the children's Bible, is frogs. And they were standing there, and then Judah, one of the brothers, thinks, why? What would we earn by just killing our brother? Let's make some money out of this. When the slave traders come by, the Ishmaelites, let's sell him, and he can go be a slave somewhere. Then we'll make some money. Then we'll take his coat. That's right, they rip the coat off him. And we'll rip it and we'll dip it in some animal blood and present it to our father. And that's exactly what they did. The Ishmaelites came and they sold him as a slave to the Ishmaelites. Off you go. And the brothers presented the cloak to their father.
With the goat blood.
And it says that Jacob wept for many days. There he was, so sad. Well done, you four can all go sit down. Give him a clap. Bravo. Leave that here. Now, something interesting happens in the story here. It says that Joseph was taken and he went to Potiphar's house. He was sold to a man called Potiphar. Say Potiphar. And then we have an interesting chapter which is all about Judah. Judah, the one whose idea it was to sell him. And Judah said, Judah had three sons, and two of them were very wicked, and they had sinned against their wife, and their wife was Tamar. One of them had a wife, you guys should read it if you're an adult. And the second one sinned against Tamar as well. And essentially he blamed Tamar, and he said, Tamar's the problem. But really it was because these sons were wicked that God had let them die. And then what happened is she got pregnant with babies, and Judah realized that it was not her who had been evil, but rather him and his children. And so Judah has this interesting repentance in this chapter where he goes from saying, she is evil, to she is far more righteous than I am. So Judah has this interesting change. Now, yes, that's right, it is Judah. Listening. Boys and girls. Now we get back to Joseph. Where'd Joseph go? Come on up, Joseph. Come on up. We still need you. There's still more to this story. So Joseph has been sold as a slave, but not as a terrible slave. You see, Joseph, he went to work for Potiphar. And I'm going to read you what it says about this. You can put this on for me. You now got slave clothes on, servant clothes. And who thinks that he did a good job in Potiphar's house? He did, absolutely. It's what it says. It says this: the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. And when his master saw that the Lord was with him and the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. So Potiphar put him in charge of his whole household and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. And then it says he left Joseph in care and he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. So Potiphar is just getting a big belly, eating food. And Joseph, a servant, is doing all of his duties. So is he working as a very good servant? Is he being very good to his master? He is. Listen. So Joseph is working very hard. And there's another person in Potiphar's house. Hands up if you know who was in Potiphar's house. It's a lady. Who is it, Charlie? Potiphar's wife. All right. Is there anyone who's game to wear the Potiphar's wife wig? Zaylee, would you like to wear this? Coming up, Zaylee. Oh, my goodness. Now, here she is. A beautiful Egyptian woman. Okay, listen. Joseph, this is funny. It says the Bible says that Joseph was a very handsome young man. Very handsome and attractive. And Potiphar's wife, probably while Potiphar was off getting fat, she started to think that Joseph was looking pretty fine. And so she was trying to make moves on Joseph. And she was like, hey, Joseph, you're going to come over here and snuggle? What do you think Joseph said? No. He said, Potiphar has trusted me with everything in his house. And if I am to take his wife, then I have sinned against God. So he knew not to sin against God. But she kept trying to allure him. And eventually she thought, I'm going to corner him this time. And so she cornered him. Stop. She said, come kiss me. Come on. Give me a kiss. You know, and she grabbed Joseph's cloak. She grabbed it. And Joseph, he got out of it. And he ran away. He ran for his life. Run! And you know what they say? Running is a sign of a guilty man, or at least that's what it looks like. And so she grabs the cloak, and she's very angry at Joseph now because she put her heart out there and it wasn't accepted. So she took the cloak to Potiphar and said, look, this man has tried to hurt me. And he got caught, and I grabbed his coat as he left. And poor Joseph. Do you think that Potiphar believed the wife or believed Joseph? He believed his wife. And so he had Joseph thrown into the deepest, darkest dungeon in all of Egypt. Go! Go! Dungeon! Get out! Go! Thank you, Potiphar's wife. Go sit down. Great job. Okay. Stay there. We need you. Who thinks that things got even worse for Joseph? Is there any hope for Joseph now? Is there always hope for our heroes in the story? Is there always hope when God's involved?
Yeah.
Well, there is. So Joseph is now in prison. And rather than getting all annoyed and getting frustrated, instead he works hard. Hey, who else in the Bible was accused of something they didn't do and was in prison for it and had to deal with the consequences of something they did not do? Who else in the Bible? Come on, it's the one that you should all know. Who, Neve? Nice try. Do you know?
David?
Not David. Nice try. Do you know?
Jesus.
Do you know Jesus? He was accused of all these things he didn't do, and that's why he was put on the cross. And Joseph is like Jesus in more ways than one, and we're going to see how that unfolds in the story shortly. So Joseph was in the prison, and this is what it says about him in the prison. It says, while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him yet again. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison guards. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those in the prison, and he was made responsible down there. The warden paid no attention to anything Joseph was doing because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success. So now you've got the prison guards and they're best buddies with Joseph because he's just such a good guy and he's doing such a great job. And there he is in prison. And do you know what? Do you think God abandoned him? God was with him yet, and he had a special plan, for there were two men in this prison who had been sent there. One was the cupbearer to the Pharaoh, and the other was the baker to the Pharaoh. You guys like bread? Yeah? Who likes Coke? It's nice. Well, these were the cupbearer, and these were the bread maker. And both, for whatever reason, had been sent to the prison, and they had dreams one night that really bothered them. The cupbearer had a dream that... He had a dream that there was this big branch, it had three branches on it, and it had grapes on it for making wine. And he squeezed the grapes out into a cup and gave it to Pharaoh. And he was confused by his dream. He thought, that must mean something. And the bread maker, he had a dream that he had a basket of bread on his head, and these birds were coming and eating it on his head. And he's trying to get Pharaoh, but he can't because the birds are eating it. And they came to Joseph really bothered about their dream. You know, what's going on? These dreams are interesting. And Joseph says that God can give them the interpretation to the dream. And so he interprets it for them. And he says to the cupbearer, you will in 3 days be reinstated as the cupbearer to the Pharaoh. You're going to get your old job back. But, and the baker's like, woohoo, I got a good one too. Nope. The cupbearer, unfortunately, in 3 days, he was going to be killed by Pharaoh. Whatever he did must have been bad enough, and he was going to be killed. And sure enough, Joseph said this one thing to the cupbearer. He said, when you go back out of prison, please remember me and mention me to Pharaoh. He really was getting sick of being there. And so 3 days later, the cupbearer gets taken and he's reinstated to his position by Pharaoh. But the bread maker is killed. Uh-oh. And do you think the cupbearer remembered Joseph's request? He did not. Not for 2 years. So for 2 more years. Look, we should probably put this on you now. For 2 years, Joseph is there growing a beard, getting really old there. And Pharaoh is getting served by the cupbearer. All right, who wants to be Pharaoh for me? Give me a second, I've got to blow it up. Samuel, do you think you can do a good job? Samuel, do you want to do a good job? Come on up here. Come sit here, Pharaoh. You can sit right there, front and center. I'm going to put this on your head. Look at the Pharaoh. Oh, bow before him. Can you sit down? Good job. Now, the Pharaoh had a dream. Everyone go to dreamland for a second. And Pharaoh actually had 2 dreams. And the dreams were very interesting and they bothered him a lot. And he woke up and he knew that the dreams meant something. So he asked everyone who was wise, everyone who knew anything, all the sorcerers of the land, all these people, to try and answer the dream. And none of them could give a satisfactory answer. He thought, what is wrong with this dream? Who can I get to interpret it? And finally, the cupbearer remembers. And the cupbearer comes forward and says, there was a man in prison with me who interpreted my dream to a T. He was got it perfectly right. And I remember him. His name is Joseph. Go send for him. And so they sent for Joseph in the prison. And it says they got him all clean and tidy, gave him a shave. Here we go. And he came before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, can you interpret my dream? And what does Joseph say? No. Joseph says, but God can interpret your dream. So Pharaoh tells him the dream. He says, Joseph, I had a dream that out of the Nile came... Would you like to wear this? Come on up. Listen. Out of the Nile came 7 fat cows. And you pretend to be a fat cow? Move, move. Good job. And 7 fat cows that were eating the grass, having a great time, when all of a sudden out of the Nile, there also came 7 scrawny, shivered, tiny, weird-looking cows. And these cows, he said, were the ugliest-looking cows he's ever seen. That's what the Bible says. And they came up and they ate the big fat cows. Until they were all gone. And then Pharaoh had another dream. This time it had to do with bundles of wheat. Well done, you can go sit down. And the wheat, there were these 7 healthy big bundles of wheat and then these 7 ugly, gross, disgusting wheat. And they came and strangled and swallowed up the other wheat. And he told Joseph this dream and Joseph gave the interpretation. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, I know.
He said this, the 7 cows and the 7 bundles of wheat that are healthy represent that there are going to be 7 really healthy years of producing crops, beautiful years of rain and plentiful food. But there will be 7 years after that of famine, like the fat cows and the bad wheat. And those will come up and they will make it even hard to remember the good years. They'll be so bad. And he said, God has given you two dreams to show that he is so confident in what he is going to do, that his mind is not going to be changed. And he said, Pharaoh, you're looking at Pharaoh? Pharaoh, you must put someone in charge to collect some of the food during the 7 years of plenty so that we have enough for when it is a famine so that Egypt can survive. And Pharaoh thought that was such a great idea. He was so thankful for Moses. Not Moses, Joseph. Moses comes later. He was so thankful for Joseph that he said, Joseph, you will be third in charge of all of Egypt. You will be, there will be no one more powerful than you than me. And even then, I'm going to get everyone to listen to you. I'm not even going to bother telling them what to do. That's all your job. You're a very wise person. And so he made him second most and powerful. So come stand up here, Joseph. Look at this beautiful robe. Woo! Great. And you know what? Let's give him a beautiful headdress too. Look at that. Authentic. Oh, very cool. To represent his power. Fantastic. Awesome. So Pharaoh gave him this position and put him in charge. And over the 7 years of plenty, Joseph made it that everyone should bring a fifth of their food they produce on the farms, a fifth of their grain, and put it into these silos. And they were keeping count, but guess what? It just got too much that they couldn't keep count anymore. And so they just stopped counting it. And it says it was like the sand on the seashores, how much grain they had brought in. And Egypt was in a very, very good place because of the 7 years of plenty. But what happened? What happened after the 7 years? It stopped raining. There was disease spread around the land. And these poor crops all died. And everywhere in all the world, people were struggling to have food. Well done. Pharaoh, you can go sit down now. You've done a fantastic job. You go there. Great. You stay there. You're very important to the story. Just stand to the side. Don't fall off. Try not to. Now, back in the land of Canaan, where Joseph's brothers lived, they were getting very hungry. And so Jacob said to his sons, go to Egypt and collect some grain and bring it back with you. And so how many brothers went to Egypt? Pop quiz. How many brothers went to Egypt? Anyone remember? Anyone know? Yes?
10
brothers went to Egypt. That's right. The 10 older brothers, the brothers who had pushed him down the well, who had sold him to slaves, who told their dad that he was dead. Now, did these brothers earn the Brother of the Year award?
Yes. No.
They did not. So they were going to Egypt where they might see their brother who they had tried to kill. And here they went and they marched into Egypt. Yes, you come up. You represent the brothers coming up. All right, another one. You can up too. All right, another one, three. All right, you three coming up. And they came to Egypt and they came with their bags of silver to pay for the food and they came up to Joseph. And when they got to Joseph, they said, Joseph, oh, not Joseph, they didn't know it was Joseph. They said, sir, they couldn't recognize him because he was in all these beautiful clothes and probably had Egyptian makeup on. And they said, we come to buy food. And he said, where are you from? He recognized them. He knew who they were, but he didn't reveal himself to them. Interestingly, it says in the Bible, he remembered his dream about them. And they had not yet bowed to him, remember? And he said, where are you from? They said, from Canaan. And he said, you are spies, sent here to spy out the land in order to invade it. And he said, this is what you must do. He asked them, do you have a father? They go, yes, our father's alive. Yep. And they said, do you have any other brothers? And they said, so, truth, yes, we do. We got a younger brother. He's with our father. And he said, this is what you must do. Everyone must be locked in prison and you should send one of you back home to bring your younger brother back with you so that I know that you're telling the truth. So he locked them all up in prison for 3 days. And 3 days they were in prison. All right, you guys go down here.
No.
Prison's down. Very good. And there they were in prison for 3 days and they didn't give in. And so Joseph thought, all right, this is what you have to do. Just keep one brother here with me and go back and get the younger brother. And while they were in prison, they say this. First journey to Egypt. Brothers go to Egypt. He said this. The brothers are talking and they say, surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come to us. And Reuben said, "Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give account for his blood." They did not realize that Joseph could understand everything they were saying because he was using an interpreter. And he turned away from them and began to weep. Come on, show us some good acting. Can you weep for us? You're crying, but you don't want to show them. But then he turned back and spoke to them and had Simon taken from them and bound in prison while the others went home. So Simon, you stay there. You guys back home.
Bye-bye.
All right. And they went home and they went to their father, Jacob, and they said, "Please, we need to send Benjamin back with us to get Simon." And the father said, "You can't take him. You've already taken Simeon from me. Joseph is dead. I can't bear to lose another son." But months went by and they got very hungry. So eventually Jacob gave in and they brought Benjamin with him. Who's a little person who would like to be Benjamin in the story? You'd like to be Benjamin? All right, come on up. She can be Benjamin. Why not? Now, they came back and this time they realized that their silver had been left in their sack. So they brought their silver with them and they feared that they would be locked up for this. And they brought the silver back. And when they saw Joseph, they bowed down to Joseph and said, "Sir, this is our son. This is our younger brother." Man, I'm getting confused today. "This is our younger brother, Benjamin, who we told you about. Now, please bring Simeon back to us and let us purchase some grain while we're here, for our people are very hungry." Now, when Joseph saw Benjamin, you know what he did? He went out back. He could hardly control himself. He ran out back and he cried. He had missed his younger brother so much. He contained himself. He washed his face. Shh. No, Benjamin's the youngest. Listen. And he came back to them and he said, "Come have a meal with me." He brought them in, and interestingly enough, the brothers were amazed to see that they were sat in perfect age order. How did anyone know what age they were? But Joseph did, obviously. And there they ate, and Benjamin received a plate with five times as much food as the others. Sound pretty good, boys? So they were loving it. They were absolutely loving it. And the time came for them to be sent back home. And now Joseph filled all their sacks with... Joseph filled all their sacks with wheat and put the silver back in there. And this time he put his silver chalice, the chalice with the palace, he put that in the sack of Benjamin. And he sent that with them. He still plotted something, didn't he? He had a bit of a plan. So the brothers went walking back to their town, to Canaan, but the Egyptians overtook them. "Stop where you're going. Stop. One of you has stolen from Joseph." Well, they didn't say his name. I don't know what they called him. "The governor. And one of you has his chalice." And the brother said, "We swear we haven't. If any one of us has done it, let him be killed." That's a bad promise to make, isn't it? And they checked through all the sacks and guess what they found in Benjamin's sack? The silver chalice. And the brothers fell down and they said, "Please don't take a younger brother." And they all went back to Egypt. They all came back to Egypt. All right, no more stomping, freeze. And this is interesting. Judah, you remember the one that had plotted against Joseph to sell him? Judah, the one that had had bad things happen to his family because he was wicked and he turned. This time Judah came forward to Joseph, not knowing it was Joseph. And the brothers fell down on their knees before him, just like the dream. And Judah said, "Lord," speaking to Joseph, "my father in Canaan will die of grief if you take Benjamin. So please, if you would take me instead of him, and I will be your servant for all my days." And when Joseph heard this, he could not contain himself. He said, "Everyone leave, except my brothers. Everyone leave. Go, go, go." And they all left. "You guys stay. You guys stay." And then he took his headdress off, took his cloak off so he looked ordinary. And he said, "It is me, Joseph. I am still alive." And the brothers were so shocked, they could not talk. So surprised they could not speak. And so Here we are. So Joseph went up to his brothers. He said, come close to me. And when they had done so, he said this, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there's been famine in the land, and for the next 5 there will be ploughing and reaping. There will not be ploughing and reaping, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And then he tells to go get their father, and then they all lived happily ever after in Egypt. Give them a clap. You guys can go sit down. Well done. Well done. Beautiful. I am so impressed by some of you people down the mat, just waiting so patiently, doing such a great job. And this is nearly the end of our story. You see, Jacob came with 70 family members. And when Jacob was there, he eventually died of old age, but he was so glad to finally see his son, and he felt like his soul could rest. He saw that his son was still alive. And then when he died, his brothers grew extremely anxious. Do you know why? They thought that maybe Joseph was holding his wrath for them until their father had died. And now Joseph was going to have revenge on them. But is that the way that Joseph was thinking? No. Joseph had kindness to his brothers. They sent a message and said, this is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers and sins for the wrongs they have committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of your servants of the God of your father. That's what the brothers sent a message. And then when their message came to him, Joseph wept again. He cried and he went to his brothers and they threw themselves down before him in fear and reverence. And they said, we are your slaves. But was Joseph happy with that? He picked them up. He said, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, saving many lives. So then, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I wanted to share this story, and I hope that there's something that has stuck out to you, that God is speaking through the depth of the Bible. For some that might have a shallow understanding, it can still be some great revelation, but there's so much deep in Scripture, so much room to swim, that God can speak to you through these things. And you know, as I was thinking of this, it came to my attention that Joseph is like Jesus in this place. He's like Jesus because he forgives us, right? Does Jesus forgive us?
Yes.
Does Jesus bear the punishment for what we did wrong? So the brothers did something wrong and Joseph had to deal with the punishment of it. And instead of getting them back, getting payback, what does he do? He forgives them. He loves them. And he says, I will provide for you and your family. How many of us have, in some way or another, we have pushed aside our duty to God, we've pushed aside our responsibility to him, like pushing him down a well, and gone, I don't want God ruler of my life in this area. And then we've realized just how much we need God and how wrong we were, and we feel the shame like Judah did, like the brothers did. We feel guilty. Have you guys ever felt guilty before? I certainly have. Yeah, let me tell you, there's been times in my life where I felt so wrong. I've even felt like I'm dirty before God. And I have this feeling that maybe God's still angry with me. So maybe I don't want to get too close to him. Maybe God will punish me because of all the things that I've done to him. And I deserve it too. But like Joseph's forgiveness, God's forgiveness for us is so great that he wants to just wrap his arms around us. He just wants to love on us. He wants us to know that not only are we forgiven, but that he wants to provide for us, because we have come all the way from Canaan. We've come to Egypt. We've come a long way, and now we've found him. He doesn't want any more distance between us. And that might be a hard thing for us to wrap our minds around, maybe even harder the older we get, to understand that it is not by our own works that we are seen pure by God, but it is by accepting his gift of forgiveness. And anyone here can accept that right now, no matter what's going on in their life, no matter what they're doing, no matter what sort of dirtiness they feel,
you can accept his forgiveness and start to walk in his providence. And that, I believe, is what God wants to speak to through this story today. And so what I'm going to do, boys and girls, we're going to pray. And as I pray, I want you to ask God, if there's anything that you feel is on your heart, would you ask God to forgive you for it? Maybe there's something that you know that you've done wrong. Maybe you know that you've been distant from God when God wants you to be close. And you can ask him for forgiveness right now, and he does not hold it away from you. And we know that we can only forgive others if we have the outflow of God's forgiveness for us. Just like the Bible says, we love because Christ first loved us. So let's pray. Everyone close your eyes and think on God for a moment. Thank you, Lord, that you forgive us. And we ask that you would forgive us right now for whatever we've done, for whatever we didn't do. We pray that you would draw us closer to you. Help us to know your love more deeply than ever. Help us to know that you will be with us till the very end. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great.